Let the spirit of the Kennedys
and the magic of the Disney brothers be with you always.
Blood and Business Legacy merch, available now.
Let's run faster,
work harder,
burn brighter
before we're gone.
Order your Blood and Business Legacy merch today. Hi, everyone. This is Cassie. Wanted to give a little bit of a trigger warning. We do mention an eating disorder in this episode, so if that is going to bother you, go ahead and skip to the next, and we will see you there.
Welcome to Blood and Business.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Cassie.
Today, we are taking a deep dive into a family riddled with controversy and carnage. Every player involved has blood on their hands, yet there is no doubt that they are America's royal family. You may love them, you may despise them. They are
the Kardashians.
Think what you want about this family, but there is no denying that they have shaped more of our culture than most of us realize. They brought a new level of transparency and vulnerability to a world full of smoke and mirrors. They were the original influencers. They created the formula that Instagrammers, vloggers, and beauty gurus use to this day. They perfectly married untouchable celebrity with relatable best friend. They're basically hypnotizing us, and we freaking love it. Oh, and I did want to also give a disclaimer before we like really get into the story. Bethany and I are not Kardashian stans. So if we like don't know stuff or we say something like a little
off, all of this information comes from their show or the internet.
Yes. And we haven't. But the thing is, like, we haven't even caught up to their show like current day. Mm-hmm. So if we like don't know something that has happened recently, I apologize.
Yeah, give us some grace. Do not come for us.
Yes, but all the stuff that is in this script, I like double, triple checked with multiple sources. So all of this stuff is as legit as you can find on the internet.
Yeah. And a lot of it, too, came from the Kardashian Confession.
Yeah. Kardashian Confidential.
Kardashian Confidential, which is the book that they supposedly wrote themselves, the three sisters. Right. So it's, like Cassie said, as accurate as we could get.
I always thought of the Kardashians as an accident, but in doing research for this script, I've come to realize that they are far from it. It's so calculated that it almost doesn't even seem real. Like, how could someone actually have that much foresight and planning and then actually pull it off? They built an empire. Or was it partly an accident? Could someone really think that they would be able to create something so huge? Everyone in this family, literally, is a multi-millionaire and billionaire, Kim. Even when you're just looking at the three sisters, Kourtney, Kim, and Khloe, because for the sake of time, we've split up the Kardashians from the Jenner siblings, so maybe we'll do Kendall and Kylie later on, but right now we're just talking about Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, and a little bit Rob. He doesn't really like to like be in the spotlight, so there's not as much about him. They are massively successful individuals, but when you look at them as a sibling set, it's crazy. Somehow they've managed to create and maintain their influence over the mass public for almost 15 years now. And from what I could find between the three of them, they've owned or been a part of more than 25 businesses and have a current net worth of $1.1 billion combined. They've been entrepreneurs since the late 90s, which we'll talk about more in a little bit. But before we get into the juicy, juicy story, let's talk about that $1.1 billion figure.
I was going to point this out if you didn't. Because yeah, you said that Kim is a billionaire. So then the 0.1 is what, Kourtney and Khloe combined?
Combined.
Which is insane. I don't think that most, like, everyone knows Kim is the most famous, the most, like, the richest, the most business savvy, whatever.
But you don't think it's that extreme.
No, I would have never guessed that the gap is that big.
I don't think it's luck with them. I think it's their personalities and their priorities in their life. Like, if you even just look at the show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kourtney just, like, stopped filming at one point because she's just not into it. Okay, so let's break them down. For their individual personalities, you've got Kourtney. She is the big sis. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free, vegan-free, realist of the group. The vibe is just living life. Annoyed with any moment away from her kids, pissed about it, but then also on her phone the whole time she's with her her kids. It's fine. She is the OG business owner, which I don't think she gets credit for. So that's a really cool little tidbit.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really knows that. I mean, like I said, we're not in the freaking fan club, the Kardashian fan club. So we don't know necessarily what people know, but I did not know. I would think that...
I thought she got drug along.
Yes, you would think that she was the last person to care about the business or like being an entrepreneur.
Right. She's also obsessed with the old school vibe and was maybe born into the wrong familia.
And maybe also she has the most famous quote from the show ever, where Kim is like, oh my gosh, my diamond earring, it's gone. And she's like, there are people, what did she say?
There are children starving, Kim.
I don't know.
Something like that.
I'm like, it's the most famous quote. I don't know the quote.
I think Khloé is the funnest and like the most hilarious, just like goofy. Her and...
Purposefully funny.
What is his name? Lord Disick?
Scott.
Scott. They are hilarious together, but Khloé... No.
Courtney.
My God.
But Courtney, the things that she says, how dry her humor is, I freaking love it.
And then Kim, the boss. Said to be, quote, dating her work, spearhead of business operations and public appearances, definitely holds the title of largest fanny in the family, created the foundation for her sisters to stand on, taking what Courtney originally started with the business and scaling it massively. Kim is the product being sold. Khloé, the adopted one. Honestly, why does this chick have blue eyes? That's what I want to know.
Why is she like 10 feet taller than the rest of them?
Always up for a good business venture, but mostly here for the pranks. Seems to be the mediator between the three and definitely brings the entertainment.
I don't know how much we should reflect on our own sisterhood, but there are three of us. We're each like 2.5 years apart. So very similar to the setup of the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you and Cassie is the oldest. She's the one talking right now, if you didn't
and
know.
And I am.
Not talking right now.
Oh, she's telling the story.
Telling the story.
And I am Courtney.
Yes, they are both very like borderline grumpy, but like more just dramatic. And
I'm like funny not actually trying upset. To be funny. I'm just like honest about my feelings, very transparent. And then I will say if I'm grumpy and I will like play into the joke of it. You know what I mean? I feel like Courtney does that too. Like she could play down how grumpy she is, but she doesn't. She just goes full force into it and kind of like jokes about it.
Yeah, the drama. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Kim is the middle one. And I, Bethany, who is speaking right now, am the middle child. I'm definitely the most like workaholic,
for
married
sure.
to my work. And the bossiest for sure. Mm-hmm. Probably the can be the meanest, which I don't know who can be the meanest
I
in that family.
I think Kim can be the coldest. I don't know if like she said the meanest things, but she can definitely be like, I don't care that you're upset right now. Like, and that's you.
Yeah.
Like you have to make yourself feel
empathy.
Empathy.
No, sympathy. I have to make myself feel sympathy. I'm empathetic.
You
I'm
are just not so empathetic.
Yes. Khloé, the youngest. We have a younger sister, Audrey, and they are definitely the goofballs, the like teacher's pet, the funnest to be around, always up for a good time.
Yeah. A little
wild. Yeah. Very loud.
Uh-huh.
So we feel for these sisters. We have a small taste of what that sister dynamic is like.
It's the best thing ever being so close in age and so similar in like interests and stuff. But man, can you fight?
It can get a little problematic.
Cut to the physical fight in season 18.
The actual blood spillage.
Fun fact, one time Cassie were standing in the kitchen. I literally am in a bathing suit, so I'm like naked.
No, not
like
only are you in a bathing suit,
you were also just fresh out of the pool, so your skin is
soaking
like
wet
and
very
fragile.
Cassie slaps me on the back so hard.
And our friend was over there, our neighbor, and
it left like a full-on handprint that was like whelped, like raised.
It was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Probably more traumatic for Cassie than it was
for
me.
Sure, because a neighbor was over there and I just look like a freaking psycho, which I am, but like I don't want people to know that.
Anyways, how Courtney and Kim get like physically aggressive and just are really like scream just and fight full on mean to each other. That's how me and Cassie have always been.
We don't physically fight. It's just like out in the open, like violence. You know what I mean?
Growing
like,
up, we physically fought. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, no, we have not laid hands on each other since we were probably like 12.
Yeah.
But we used to like throw chairs at each other and stuff.
That's for sure true. And then now we just like.
No, we're literally, I'm literally like, I don't care. Like, you need to shut up. Yeah. Like, leave me alone. And Cassie's like, listen.
You're a bad person. Which is not true.
I just realized that the physical fight was about, that is such
yes,
when I think.
Yes, was I would get who so upset. Less. You literally, I'm,
that is
I
so see me.
You on Kim's body saying, I work more than you, so what about it? And then me
Cassie,
just saying,
it would
like,
be the truth. It's literally, it would be the truth. And Cassie would be so offended, like, that
because why
scene
do you have to just, like, walk around being like, I'm the best one, so.
Because I think to us, it's just, like, facts, and, like, we're less emotional about it. We're just like, this is what it is. And you and Courtney are like, not okay about it, like a little bit.
I work freaking hard, like yeah. The same as Courtney. She works freaking hard. Just because we're not like actually workaholics like you doesn't mean that we're lazy.
Yeah, and Kim didn't say that.
She kind of did. Anyway,
anyways, that's
before
so
we
funny.
Actually start fighting on freaking
before Cassie starts crying.
The podcast. We digress. Let's go back to the beginning. What pop culture was like, what the Kardashians were like pre-fame. Like we said, we read the sisters' 2010 book, Kardashian Confidential. And I was pretty surprised by how chaotic that their childhood was. Mm-hmm. And most of us like look at them and all we see is privilege, which of course they're privileged for sure. But it doesn't mean that their life has been easy. I think it's easy to look at them and just see Princess, Kush. They've been like sheltered from all of life's hardships. And I don't think that that's true. They were in the 1% from the very beginning. They literally grew up next door to Bruce freaking Springsteen. So we're going to get into all of like childhood trauma and things that might have been hard for them or shaped their perspective of the world. But I will say that I think that they learned a lot in life pretty early on.
I definitely think, and maybe this is just my biased or assumption, that when you grow up in that 1% and your life is, quote unquote, so easy, mm-hmm. that you are able and have the privilege of staying a kid for a long time. And I think that, yeah. honestly, the middle class are the ones who get to stay
That's
a
true.
Kid the most. And the because lower class and then the really upper class are... Both of them, in different ways, have to grow up so fast. Like,
because
they are treated like adults.
They're growing up in an extreme situation, an extreme environment.
Yeah.
And to be the 1% of the 1%, you almost are required to have some extreme behavior, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just not... there's no balance. So, where are we? It's 1980s Beverly Hills, and life, in the sisters' own words, is a fairy tale. Los Angeles population hits 3 million, surpassing Chicago as the second largest city in the nation. The world is watching LA. The Pope visits to rub shoulders with leaders. The Olympics are here for the second time. And James Ellroy's The Black Dahlia is published. True crime junkies, you get it. Highways separate the seedy underbelly of LA and Compton from the glamorous city seen in the media. And the Kardashians' view of LA is the palm trees and palaces of Beverly Hills. If you thought that there was a time before the Kardashian clan was drowning in drama and controversy, you would be mistaken. Their parents, Robert and Kris, met when Kris was just 17 years old, and he was 11 years her senior.
A little sus.
They didn't get together right away, though. Robert pursued Kris for a while before temporarily giving it up and dating Priscilla Presley in the meantime.
Does anyone know that? Like, is that common
knowledge?
Because I don't think that is.
I read that and I was like, is this real? And then I had to look a couple of other places and yeah, it's real. What? As soon as that was over though, newly single Robert ran straight back to Kris. Together, the pair went on to have four beautiful children, Courtney, Kim, Chloe, and Robert Jr. And life was all about family. The Los Angeles air is warm. Their home just off of Sunset and Rodeo is deemed Party Central by close friends, and dad is a super well-connected lawyer in town. Crazy side note, by the way, about them being like super connected. Kim's 13th birthday party was at Neverland, because apparently she was in a long-term relationship with Michael Jackson's nephew.
I'm sorry, what? Like, the connections and the networking just...
Yeah.
There's layers upon layers upon layers.
And this is in the 80s. Like, they are not famous. They're
not
like
the Kardashians.
No. But don't get too comfortable, because these Pacific waters won't stay calm for long. The 90s usher in a more turbulent season for the Kardashian siblings. And just as their neighbor, Jay Leno, takes over as host of The Tonight Show, their parents split up. It becomes an even harder pill to swallow for the kids when their mom, Chris, who instigated the breakup after her own affair, marries Olympic gold medalist Bruce Jenner just a few short months later. I also want to clarify that the affair that caused the divorce was not with Bruce Jenner.
But she was dating him before they were officially divorced, correct?
Yes. This lady moves quick.
Come on, get it together, Kim. Kim! Why are all their names
so hard?
Get it together, Chris.
In the sister's own words, everything seemed pretty perfect in our lives until our parents got a divorce. Courtney reportedly took it the hardest, maybe because she was the oldest and had a greater understanding, or maybe she just felt protective of her younger siblings. In Chris's marriage to Bruce, the siblings inherited three more brothers and another sister. With this many moving parts, this amount of people around, you realize at a young age that peace and smooth sailing is not the goal. It's practically impossible. I mean, honestly, they probably never had a shot at living a drama-free life with Kris Jenner as their mother. Instead, I think that they learned that unconditional love and forgiveness and resilience is what they were
after.
Is what was going to give them a better experience rather than just trying to like keep peace. The girls also stated that after the divorce, family values became more important than they ever were. The trauma surrounding the event made them aware of what it was to be family and just how sacred those relationships are.
And to just give you a better picture of how they took the divorce, I know that some kids, it doesn't affect them as much, or even they're like grateful for the divorce. They, I don't think, were really prepared for it or thought that that would ever happen. So it was a huge shock.
Yeah,
and
they were blindsided for sure.
They were definitely blindsided, and it was very devastating for all of the kids.
Yeah, because their dad was a really, really, really good dad. Like, I don't know about like being an amazing person in general, but like as far as just being a dad, he was a really, really good dad.
Yeah, super involved, both of their parents. Mm-hmm. And I think even at that time, they liked their dad or were closer to their dad because they were kind of mad at their mom. And
yeah.
Are you a fan of global travel? Are you wanting to see more of the world yourself? Well, then you're my kind of people. My name is DeAndre Koch, and I'm the host of the travel podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey, where we share stories of everyday people making the most of global travel and also teach you how to do the same yourself. You'll hear stories from people just like you who learned how to travel for nearly free, like Jo, who realized she could take her daughter to Disneyland in Tokyo for cheaper than in the U.S., or Rob, who flew his entire family of seven to Europe round trip in business class, all for less than the price of economy. Check out the link in the description for the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast to learn how to elevate your own travels.
Hated that she divorced him, and then
she
also
screwed the whole thing up. I mean, they had like what in their minds was the perfect life, and it all got shattered
because of her.
Yeah.
In their minds, in their childhood brain. Remember, they're freaking kids, so this is all being filtered through
being
a child brain.
Yeah, really young. You already know, especially if you're a true crime fan, that a huge hallmark of the 90s was the O.J. Simpson case. But even more than this was a pivotal point for America, bringing up conversations about race, celebrity, injustices in the criminal system. This was a major life-altering moment for the Kardashians. If you didn't know, their dad, Robert Kardashian, was one of OJ's lawyers, but he wasn't just like a random for-hire lawyer, I'll meet you in court. It was a best friend situation, and the sisters say that they met in college. Another source says that they met like on a Beverly Hills tennis court after college, but they both graduated from USC. It was just like years apart. I don't know. The point is, they were old friends, and Chris had become incredibly close with Nicole Brown, OJ's on-again, off-again wife over the years. And their families vacationed together. Like, it was not just acquaintance material. They were really, really good friends and really close. So when Nicole, who
is Chris's one of Chris's closest friends and yes. OJ's on and off again girlfriend.
Yes, and like the Kardashian siblings hung out with her and her kids all the time, and that was their friend's mom. When she was murdered, it wasn't historical. It was personal. And to really paint the picture, you know that white Ford Bronco that OJ took off, and it's like the most famous police chase yeah. ever? When he took off on that run, he pulled out of Robert Kardashian's driveway.
Which he was supposedly staying at.
Yeah, he had been like kind of hiding out there from the police and
paparazzi.
The suspicion was that he was involved in Nicole's murder, and so he was kind of like hiding in Robert's house. The siblings have stated multiple times how traumatizing and confusing having your parents on strong opposing sides of such a public and intense fight was. So prior to me reading all of this, I imagine their childhood a lot like scenes from Gossip Girl, like worrying about labels on their clothes, worrying about like school parties or who they were going to go with or whatever. But when you stop and think about the freaking stress and trauma of that, like I remember just, like, seeing somebody get arrested in Claire's for stealing a pair of earrings, and
that was so traumatizing.
That was so upsetting to me, and I still can remember the song that was playing, like everything, because it's just so scary.
Mm-hmm. Also watching the news, Cassie can remember like seeing certain scenes in the news that were like traumatizing to her.
Yeah.
So I was gonna point that out as well. Even just knowing that someone close to you was murdered, like even that in of itself, yep. like definitely world shattering, like adds a new schema to your child brain. Like,
you don't even know that that's possible or a thing. And you only think that that happens to like people that you don't know. Like,
yeah, you know, either like bad people, like in the mafia, right. or I don't know. You just, as a kid, especially even now, I think it would be traumatizing to right. have someone close to you murdered. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, you're just like, the world is not a safe place. Like their world has already been destroyed by their parents' divorce.
Right.
And for a kid, like I said, like that can literally feel life threatening.
Yep.
And then to have this happen afterwards, mm-hmm. and they have a new stepdad, they have new siblings, like their and world then, is not stable.
No. And then like not knowing if OJ, who is also your friend and who's kind super of your close uncle. To your dad, kind of your uncle, who like is in the house all the time. Like, is he a bad person or are the police just like coming for him and like
an innocent
wrongly,
man.
Yeah, wrongly harassing him? Like, it's just so unstable, like you said.
And as a kid, like not knowing and not being able to ask or like feel like you can ask certain questions yep. and kind of being in the dark, but you know, it's like you know too much, but also not enough.
It's
about the divorce and yeah. about the murder, the whole OJ case.
It would be so confusing, I think.
And then as a sibling set as well, how you said that Courtney was the most traumatized and affected by the divorce, being the oldest sibling and feeling like you have the responsibility of kind of keeping your siblings together or keeping the peace because your parents are no longer on the same page. They're in two different houses now, and now they're on two different sides of a massive court case. I'm sure that Courtney and maybe even Kim felt responsible to keep the family together.
Yeah, and Chris was really, really, really upset with Robert for defending OJ. And I think Robert was just trying to be a good friend. He didn't really know. You don't want to believe that about your friend.
Yeah.
So he couldn't figure it out. She was insanely, insanely angry at him. And then the kids, from their perspective, they're not sure what the truth is. And then all they can see is, well, mom left dad. She's living with this other dude that we don't want to be in his family. We wanted our parents to be together. So she's already the villain. And then she gets even like more angry at their dad. And that's their dad. You know what I mean?
It's just very confusing on an emotional and like physical level.
So it gets even crazier because angry strangers would literally camp outside of their house, vandalize their property. They tapped their phones, and they even received bomb threats. And the kids, like, knew about all of this. So they're literally fearing for their lives, and, like, rightfully so. It wasn't even, like, a paranoid situation. Like, there were crazy people involved in this, and they knew where they lived. Okay, so we know that the trial was in the mid-90s, but I'm going to tell you how old everybody was. So Courtney was 15, Kim was 14, which I forgot that they're only a year apart.
That's so close.
Chloe was 10, and then Rob was only 7.
So they were young.
Yeah.
mean, 15 and 14, that is like the most unstable, I think.
Yeah, that's already traumatizing, just like going through changes
from and
like
middle trying school to figure out school.
Who you are.
Yeah.
And then I knew absolutely nothing when I was 10 years old. So,
yeah, they're definitely Rob and Chloe are being exposed to a lot of adult situations that most children should not have to think about or worry about.
I mean, this is big T trauma.
Big T trauma and little T trauma because...
Yeah, it's over and over. It's like years. So I think that definitely has an impact on how you see the world and how you see yourself. And it just like...
Safety, trust, mm-hmm. loyalty, everything.
And of people, just other people, strangers.
Yeah, humans, what they're capable of.
Right.
Yeah, they definitely probably think that things that are not normal and things that most of us will... never experience or think that humans would do to us, they are already like, oh, that could happen to me.
Yep. So like I said before, Courtney definitely struggled the most with forgiving her mom and was very defensive of her dad. She lived with him for most of her high school career, and it was just like just a more comfortable environment over there. Like over with her mom, there were tons and tons of other kids. The Jenners were all there. Like it was like way more chaotic at her mom's.
She also probably, I know that as a kid, I would feel like I would have to choose the parent who didn't have the other, because I would think, oh, Chris is like fine. She has her step siblings now, or her step kids now, her husband, and I would be so worried about my dad who being is alone.
Himself, yeah.
I wouldn't want him to feel like, and it's not his fault on top of it all. And he's not the one who cheated.
Right. And that's a lot of responsibility for Courtney to feel like
she's responsible for her dad's happiness or her dad's only remaining family member that's like willing to live with him.
It just, see why resilience is such a coveted trait around here.
And peace is not at all expected or assumed.
But I do think it's interesting that the girls like harnessed those traumatic events to like get even closer to each other rather than like letting that separate them, because Courtney didn't even live with them at this time, you know?
Yeah, it definitely could have divided them.
It could have been like, oh, we're on mom's side, you're on dad's side type of situation. But I think that they really had understanding for each other and that they were the position that they were all in. And I think maybe that's why they're still so close, is because they know that each other are the only people who know what they've gone through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of research on sibling relationships and siblings who have gone through childhood trauma together, even if it's just something like divorce.
Uh-huh.
And even if it's just something like divorce, divorce
is like so traumatic.
It's but I'm so saying it's common. Like common.
Yeah,
but
that people don't think about it, but is like earth shattering for most kids.
It's not to say that you
should stay with whoever.
No, it's just traumatic.
It is traumatic.
It's traumatic for the people going through it as well.
You're right. Bullying is very traumatic. It's common, but that doesn't mean it's not traumatic.
Right.
Like going through childhood trauma together definitely changes the sibling dynamic and fuses those relationships, because you're so much more. It's almost like you go into survival mode together and you rely so heavily on those relationships, and it can cause issues like further down the line as an adult.
Really?
But yeah, but because of just like a savior victim relationship.
Yeah.
So it can be more like tumultuous than others. But as you see, like now that the Kardashians are all grown up, like it really did create a special kind of bond for them.
And they did mention in their book that Robert and Chris, their parents, worked really hard to become friends again. And that I think helped the girls be able to move on and like
forgive their parents.
Right. And it's not a separated, like divided family. They all had respect for each other. Even if they weren't all living under the same roof, they still understood that we're all on each other's team, you know?
Yeah. And that's another huge thing that affects how traumatic divorce can be,
uh-huh.
is if the parents still like show love towards each other and tell the kid, you know, we're still a family, we still care about each other, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Versus hating each other and never speaking and it putting all of that stress on the kid to like be the mediator.
Yeah, to be in the middle.
Their family really lives by the blood is thicker than water family first mentality, and not to get too dark so soon, but Robert always told the girls that everything happens for a reason. And on his deathbed, little spoiler, we're going to talk about his passing in a little bit, but on his deathbed, he told them, that's why Bruce is here now, to take care of you after I'm gone. So he really seems like he is doing everything he can to speak life into his family and to leave his kids not with a bitterness, but with an appreciation and a gratitude for the things that they did have in life still. And that's a very big person, I think, to give Bruce that much power and positive, like, words, because he had every
excuse and every reason to be angry.
Yeah, exactly.
And to hate him and
Bruce
to be bitter.
Bruce got what Robert wanted, and, like, he still was like,
gracefully,
that man is valuable. You need to be friends with him. Like,
yeah.
He's a good influence. And I don't know. That's just, I feel like that would be a hard place to get to. Like, that's a lot of effort and a lot of work. So with all of this publicity and media around the OJ trial, you'd think that the name Kardashian would be a nationally known name at this point. But it really wasn't. He was a little bit in, like, the tabloids and stuff as OJ's lawyer, but, like, Kim Kardashian was nobody.
Not a thing.
Yeah. However, unfortunately for Khloe, the name Kim Kardashian and Kourtney Kardashian was pretty notorious around Marymount High School. Just imagine starting high school after all of the drama that your family has gone through. LA is a big city, but it's not that big. And on top of that, she was following quite the act. Kourtney and Kim were super popular in their private Catholic all-girls school, and they were definitely the it girls. Think Blair and Serena in Gossip Girl. Like, everybody's talking about where they are, what party they're going to, who they're talking to, all that. If you have ever seen a photo of the Kardashians, Khloe looks almost nothing like Kim and Kourtney, and Kim and Kourtney look like twins.
Mm-hmm.
Khloe wrote in Kardashian Confidential about the high level of comparison that eventually led to disordered eating and overexercising for her. It was so tough, in fact, that she ended up dropping out of school and enrolling, unbeknownst to her parents, in a homeschool program. So, yes, their life was hard. They had typical champagne problems and dealt with a lot of family issues, but it was obviously still sugar-coated in a lot of ways as well. Their parents, although they put their kids through a divorce, affairs, confusing family dynamics, spoiled them with nice things, large parties, and fancy trips. And in the research I've done, it seems like they had a pretty balanced parenting style as well. They kept them accountable. They taught them responsible things and financial literacy, good work ethic, all of that. And just a little example, when the siblings each got their license, they received a car complete with a contract stating that they were required to use it to help the family with any errands that they needed, and that should anything happen to the cars, there would be no replacing them.
Sounds fair.
They were super privileged. There's no denying that. But they weren't just trust fund babies coasting through life either. Their dad especially made sure of that, always coaching them on what's important and to never take what they had for granted. The girls say that he often pointed out friends or acquaintances and would say to the girls, "See, look at all that money they have. And still, they aren't happy." Or he'd point out that they were filthy rich, but they weren't good people. Something pretty crazy I read too, which I think is important to note because it paints an even clearer picture of what their dad was truly about. When he died, he left almost no money to the four kids. If you don't already know, Robert Kardashian was diagnosed with esophageal cancer just 8 weeks before his death. So they did not have much time to, like, come to terms with it before he was already gone. And what is so, like, surprising about that is that the kids, like, talk so highly of their dad. And you would think that not leaving money to your children is, like, a spiteful thing, or that you weren't on good terms or something, because he definitely had money to leave. But they were on super good terms whenever he died. The kids really rallied around him in those last moments. Kourtney watched a lot of black and white movies with him, and Kim said that she would make him cream of wheat because it was a nostalgic thing from their childhood that they would always have that for breakfast. And it was also a token of, like, happier times when their family was still all together.
Ugh,
I know. Khloe struggled the most with their dad's death. She found it really difficult to visit her dad during his passing and was so stressed that she actually ended up losing a lot of her hair from it. And I think it probably even made it harder that she looks back and doesn't have those times that she spent with her dad in the last days.
She was so young.
Kourtney and Kim, like, rallied around him in his last few months, and she was so stressed by it that she couldn't do that. And then so she was even robbed more of more memories with him that her sisters have, but she doesn't. But What is so strange is that the siblings only inherited personal items from him at the end. His Bible went to Kim. Rob did get to keep his college fund that his dad had started. He really wanted him to go to USC, so he was able to inherit that. But the rest of it all went to his brand new wife of, get this, 6 weeks.
Shut up. So he already knew, wait, because he knew 8 weeks before he died. Exactly. So he knew for 2 weeks that he was dying before he married her.
Exactly.
So he literally, it's not like, oh, it just so happened she like swindled him into marrying her like
before he got sick. No.
Like yeah, he knew that.
Yeah.
He knew who all of his money was going to go to.
And it's, he's a smart like person. Confused.
Yeah. He is very strategic, I feel like. And was very present. He wasn't like an absent father either who just like was negligent or like didn't think about, oh, I should probably make a will. Like
he
was a freaking lawyer. He knew all about freaking contracts and wills.
So the, because of all of that, the only thing that makes sense to me after I thought about it was that he did that very purposefully. And if you take into context everything that he did teach them and like what he was all about, like you were saying, he was all about responsibility and knowing what you have and working hard and being grateful. And so I think that the legacy that he left behind is very clear. He wanted to make sure that his kids continued to work hard and that they became the adults that he wanted them to be and that they weren't like inhibited by having a trust fund. And like, because I mean, that allows you to not grow up, you know?
Yeah. And I even think this is maybe a little bit of speculation, but if you look at Rob and sort of, not that accomplishments and like accolades are everything, but the three sisters are definitely the hardest workers out of the four of them.
And they just seem a little bit more stable.
A little bit more stable, a little bit more grounded and
present.
Present and just like, even though they do not live in the real world at all, they, for what they grew up with and for the world that they do live in, they do seem a little bit more grounded than like most celebrities, I would say.
Yeah, and a little bit more like participating in
life.
Culture, life,
everything. And Rob was, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but Rob was the only one who was left money. And
yeah,
he's also the youngest, so he kind of got to,
I think even more than the money, because it was just a college fund mainly, and I think that they probably all got their college paid for, but maybe his sisters and mom coddled him a little bit because he didn't get his dad for as long in his life. They like really wanted to protect him, and like I think they all kind of stood up and took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the taking care of him is kind of similar to a trust fund of like, you don't have to work, you don't have to figure it out, because you are taken care of.
Yeah.
He was able to just kind of collapse in on himself when he was sad, because he obviously has gone through very hard things.
Yeah.
And he did lose his dad, the youngest, and he is the only boy in a world of feminine,
insane girls,
estrogen.
Yeah, and he's the one who got the least amount of like guidance and conversations with the dad. And definitely Chris is a lot, like her priorities are very different, I think, to Robert's.
Yeah.
And just like their parenting styles were probably a little bit different. And so the girls kind of got it evened out with their dad, but maybe because Rob was so young when he died, he didn't have as much of a balanced like parenting.
Right. Anyway, I think that their dad's decision to give away his money and not give it to his children was his way of being their dad from
the grave,
basically. He was able to still have influence on them and their lives after he was gone. Even Chris actually said, which this one breaks my heart and makes me, I hate regret. It is disgusting to me. It's like the worst feeling ever. And she said, the one regret, if I had to do it over, was divorcing Robert Kardashian.
Ugh.
And it just kind of goes to show you, like, what a good person he must have been, you know, to admit that.
Yeah, he really did seem like a good father. And
yeah,
maybe he wasn't the best partner, but definitely a family man.
And the girls also say that he was way more involved, like you said, than any of their friends' dads. Like, he was definitely, like, that dad that was always, like, there, always ready to talk, always ready to, like, give everybody car rides and stuff like that. And one of Chloe's Christmas presents one year was a certificate from her dad for, quote, 1 hour of conversation to talk about life.
Oh, my Well, literally our dad.
Such a dad move and such our dad. Okay, let's rewind 7 or so years before their dad passed. Back when Kim was 16 and still in high school, following her dad's guidance, Kim got her first job at a clothing store. And maybe it was just that she had turned of age, or maybe it was something to do with the fact that she had just crashed her car that her dad had just gifted her. And he told her, I'm not replacing it. So maybe that's why she got a job. But that job at the clothing store, paired with the business lessons inherited from her father, led Kim to become an entrepreneur of sorts.
Go ahead. I don't think like even middle class kids all get jobs at 16. So the fact that she even just got a job as soon as she was eligible to get a job, old enough, I think that says something about them.
Right.
That they, like you said, were not just full on trust fund, like don't need to get a job until you're literally out of college.
Yeah. There was like a respect for the working person in their family, it seems like.
And as you'll see, Kim had 2 jobs at one point. Like,
yeah.
Like she was a hard worker.
For sure. So in high school, while working at the clothing store, she went door to door as her second job to other boutiques in Hollywood, selling headbands that she had decorated herself with like beads and fishing line. And so while she was working part time for her dad, she also started selling clothes on eBay. So like this is like her second phase of like having 2 jobs. And I think a lot of people have probably heard about her eBay side hustle, but she started selling clothes and accessories and stuff that she had purchased and worn for a little while and then like wanted to buy new things. She would sell her old things so that she could have money to purchase new ones. And she actually morphed that business into a pretty successful styling and closet organization business in which she would have like celebrity clients. Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, Serena Williams, Cindy Crawford were all her clients. She would go into their closets, tell them what was out of style, tell them what didn't flatter their body, what didn't serve them anymore, like Marie Kondo style. She would pile it up in trash bags and then she would sell those items for them on eBay like she had done with her own closet. And then she would get to keep a portion of those sales and they would pay her obviously for organizing their closet as well. So Chloe's work experience, she worked at their dad's office just like Kim had and was a personal assistant as well for a while. She is rumored to be that like Marie Kondo organization freak like Kim is as well. And Courtney, on the other hand, is labeled the slob by her sisters, which is in line with me being Courtney. I am the slob for sure. In Courtney's teens and early 20s, she seemed to focus more on school rather than a job. She did mention, though, that she was cut off financially upon graduating college. So she, instead of like going to get a corporate job or whatever, she started a clothing line with a friend. And they sold in like local boutiques for a year. And then after that, she ended up opening Smooch with her mom. So this is like pre-fame, pre any Kardashian drama at all. Well, that's not true.
Pre-dash.
Pre-dash, there was Smooch.
And what's her new? It's not Goop, it's
Poop. Poosh?
Poosh.
Yeah, Poosh. Lols. She is the same person still.
Yep. Smooch, Poosh, Dash.
Okay, so in order to get a comprehensive look at the girls' business ventures and their career life, we have to talk about Kris Jenner. Because although their dad was the one to initially teach them about business, their mom was the one who really put it into action for them. Kris just does things. Did you think that Kanye was the first one in the family to have this crazy, totally off the wall idea to start a church?
I definitely did.
Same. But no. In 2012, 7 years prior to Kanye's Sunday service, Kris had the California Community Church. She woke up one sunny morning after having a dream that she was supposed to start a church with her old pastor, who is actually no longer a pastor, but a barista at Starbucks. And does she question this dream? No, she does not. She puts it into action. She has Bruce literally stalk the Starbucks barista. He like sat at his Starbucks location that he supposedly worked at until the dude came into work and proposed the idea, and they literally started a church together.
That is insane. Like, that does not sound real. These people are so, the Kardashians, I'm sorry.
What goes so through their
weird
brains?
They are so weird.
Who gives you the right?
Like, they just assume the responsibility, assume that they can do what they want, yeah. And it freaking works for them. Honestly, like, people take notes.
mind you, the guy, the Starbucks barista, had like walked away from his faith, and then she like led him back to his faith. And my mind is spinning, reeling. I am reeling. So that's Chris. Though her morals may be questionable at best, there was a time period when she was living in Robert Kardashian's house. Bruce Jenner moved in with her to Robert Kardashian's house with her children. And she was still engaging in her affair with Todd Waterman that had originally ended her marriage with Robert Kardashian. All at the same time.
Stop. How? Okay, I know that the Kardashians, like, you either love them or you hate them. Everyone has a strong opinion about whether they deserve their money, whether they deserve the fame, who they are, what they contribute to the world.
That is the perception. You either love them or you hate them, but I don't love or hate them.
I think I love them.
You think?
I think that they are doing what they want with their lives. Like, I don't agree with them a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
But I think that they are, like you said earlier, like, they are players. They are not watchers. They are players.
Yeah,
anyone who sticks themselves out there, like, puts themselves out there so much, they're insane. Whatever, you have to respect the hustle, though. It is beyond me how they are not completely buried in the ground, canceled, like never being resurrected.
Same.
For the shady, 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 shady crap that they have been involved in.
And it's all public information.
And it's all public information. And I'm like, people are literally just so willing to turn the other cheek because they get what they want. We get what we want out of them.
That's what I was going to say, too. You don't bite the hand that feeds you.
And they were getting fed. Feed the American public. They feed us controversy. They feed us drama. They feed us style, inspiration, motivation. We get more out of them, so we ignore.
They provide enough to where they're
to compensate for how
controversial
and unethical they are.
Yeah. I mean, people have been canceled for much less.
Much less. They could each individually be canceled for like 100 things.
Oh, yeah. Right now, even right in now, the news.
The Jenners,
right now.
Are you here?
Travis Scott.
Like, how? And even just the whole, like, how they contribute to, like, they have done a lot of good things for the public. Like, they're, I think that they, and maybe you talk about this in a second, but, like, their body image, like, how they were, like, the first.
Literally.
Freaking Paris Hilton. And
we're going to talk about that next episode, but just kind of think about that, guys. Think about who was famous before the Kardashians were famous.
Think about the 2000s, please.
Who the A-listers were exactly in the 2000s.
Falling over dead. Like, not okay. Like, not healthy.
The Kardashians enter, and suddenly we all get to wear high-waisted pants and
curvy
call
is
ourselves
in,
curvy.
Baby. Big booties are in.
And it's beautiful.
And it's beautiful. And, like, dark features are in. We don't all have to be
We don't all
anymore.
Have to be European white girls to be pretty.
So I'm just saying, they did a lot for us. They did. Thank you. We're forever grateful for that. High-waisted
snaps for the Kardashians.
But also, like,
plastic
surgery.
Okay, so back to Chris. She is something else, but she is an action taker. She does not wait for anyone, like you said, to tell her that she has permission or that she's qualified to do something. She just takes that liberty, and you know what? She's there and she does it.
Act confident and no one will question
and nobody nobody questions the Christian. Or are you kidding? And that is exactly why her family has the success that they have. She is Nike personified. She just does it. Chris, at her core, is a maximizer. She doesn't care about your weaknesses. She puts all her effort into growing and building upon the strengths that you already have and blowing them up. So when she married world record breaker Bruce Jenner, she wasted no time in getting him plugged into her network of people and booking him for speaking engagements around the U.S. So before Kris Jenner was a momager, she was already someone else in the family's personal assistant and manager. And allegedly, I saw this a couple places. I don't know if it's true because it sounds so actually insane that I don't, like, even though I confirmed it several places, I still don't know if I believe it, but allegedly, Bruce Jenner only had $200 in his bank account and an estimated around $300,000 of debt when he and Chris first met. So she had the tools to do it. Like, he was super famous. She had a network of people and, like, he had skills, but that is quite the turnaround.
Quite the turnaround.
As soon as Chris's oldest Courtney graduates college, the matriarch wastes no time, and together they start Smooch, like we said. It was a children's clothing boutique in Calabasas, and Chris's mom, MJ, had actually owned a store. So she, like, already had kind of a first-hand look at, like, how to run a store and everything. She had actually helped MJ for, like, years and years run that store, so I feel like I always look at people and I'm like, oh my gosh, they just did stuff. It just like happened overnight. But like, there's always more to the story. She already knew how to run a store. So this was actually a really cool time for Courtney. It was a time of healing because her dad had just passed, and throwing herself into running the store and building Smooch was really helpful to her in like dealing with that grief. And she talks about that season as being really fun and simple. She did a lot of the purchasing and operated the store alongside her mom, just the two of them. Nobody worked for the Kardashians back then, and Kim and Khloe were not involved in this business venture. So it was like probably a cool time of reconciliation and healing for them, because she was kind of, Courtney was kind of always the one on her dad's side. Not like, like maliciously, or there was probably not tons of animosity there, but it was just
she was the daddy's girl.
She was the daddy's girl for sure. And so once he was gone, I think that it was important for her to have that closeness with her mom.
And to circle back to our little mantra, or what we always say about start a project together, and that can build a relationship.
Wow. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, I think that that is what Smooch did for them.
It's literally, it's like a facilitator for just like hanging out and getting close and getting to know each other. And you don't have to just like force yourself to like go to coffee, stare at each other and like talk about life.
Try to bond over nothing.
Like don't make it, well, I mean, it is awkward. So like help yourself and give yourself something to actually talk about, you know?
Yeah, put the fun back in dysfunctional.
Yep. So it's definitely a chapter of transformation for Courtney. Most of her childhood, like we said, spent with her dad. And then as soon as she enters adulthood, she becomes financially independent, opens her first business. Then her dad dies right after she graduates college. She opens a business with her mom, which she's had that strenuous relationship with in the past. They get to bond, spend a lot of quality time together. And then she's seeing her sisters every day now too, because they had lived in separate houses, but like everybody is just like hanging out all the time. And so I think that that like is really cool that she had something to kind of fall into once her dad passed, and like so many changes were happening around her. And it's actually even more of a transitional period than she even realized at the time, because just 3 years after opening Smooch, Courtney decides it's a good idea to add more to her plate. And she asks Khloe if she wants to open an adult clothing boutique together.
They're gonna say like an adult store. I was like, wait, where is it already? The sex scandal didn't come out yet.
No, I'm sorry. An adult clothing boutique, because Smooch was for kids. This one's gonna, she's like, okay, we need to be clothing adult Calabasas as well. And so
hit
she
all the markets.
Comes to Khloe with the idea for Dash.
Ooh, already?
Yes. That is kind of the first things that the public sees from the Kardashians. So it's like kind of going from like business owner behind the scenes, just entrepreneur with Smooch. And then Dash ushers in this era of like publicity and
socialite.
Yes, type of exactly. Stuff. Notice any problem with the story about Dash?
Someone's missing.
Somebody's getting left out. And she's pissed and she's hurt and she's raging. Kim goes to her sisters and she's like,
what are you doing?
You clowns. Like, I'm the stylist. I'm the one with the freaking fashion sense. What are you doing opening up a clothing store without me? And she said that it had been her dream to open a clothing store. I don't know if they knew that or not, but
she also had, like, sales experience.
Yes! Like, she should be the one heading it all up. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The boutiques.
She worked in boutiques, and she also, like, literally wholesaled merch.
And she was literally, like, going through people's closets, telling them, like, this is out of style. This is coming up. This is what you need to buy. This flatters your skin tone, whatever. And, like, they're not going to use her as an asset. Courtney and Khloe say that they just didn't think that she would want to dedicate her time to it because it's Kim. Of course, she already was doing her own thing. She already had her styling business. But once she raised hell about it, they invited her in, and they all took on different roles and hit the ground running. So Courtney took the reins on the business side of it. Kim did most of the buying, and she also sold a lot of Dash clothing to her styling clients. She kind of tag-teamed that. And then Chloe was the shop girl who was basically in charge of the actual physical location. She was managing the store, and even Bruce had a job. He built the dressing rooms and remodeled the entire inside of the store, which I think is so cute.
Wow, a full-on family operation.
Stepdad vibes. And then here's an excerpt from Chloe from their book, Kardashian Confidential, that I think really paints a good picture of what it was like, and it sounds like kind dreams. Of bliss. Yeah. At first, it was just me running Dash and Courtney running Smooch. If Courtney went to get lunch, she'd get mine too, and I'd watch Smooch while she was gone, and vice versa. We didn't have any employees for years, and we did everything ourselves. We cleaned the store, steamed the clothes, did the tagging and inventory, and we had a ball. It was a nice, mellow, simple thing. We'd call each other in the morning before work and say, "Want a Starbucks?" And then we'd be at work all day long, and at the end of the day, we'd say, "Want to go to dinner?"
So fun.
Like, if you just want to, like, be selfish and, like, live that life, I feel like that is the perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, running a store next door to your sister, you get to just, like, be in charge.
Chill, hang out. But you still have a purpose, because it's not like you're just aimlessly walking through life. Like, you have something you're working on.
It's, like, the best balance between work and peace and rest.
Work and play.
Although the girls were content with this, Kris Jenner was not. Excited for her little entrepreneurs, Kris started dreaming bigger, thinking of ways to bring more publicity to the store. Since she had managed Bruce's career, she saw what she could do with him. She decides to give everybody a piece of the marketing pie with a reality show featuring the Wild family. Keeping Up with the Kardashians was born.
Honestly, legend. I'm sorry, but Kris is smart.
She is.
Mama didn't raise no fool.
A genius.
And little business tip, marketing is everything. Publicity is everything.
We suck at it, and it's the main thing that we're trying to get better about, because
you can have the best creation, be selling or
the best
be
service.
Serving the best crap ever, and nobody will buy it if they don't know about it, so.
Just a little tidbit from our traumatic experience as entrepreneurs.
From our 12-year climb.
Probably focus on marketing a little bit. The idea came about actually from one of Kris's very showbiz friends, Kendall and Kylie's godmother, Kathy Lee Gifford, which I think is absolutely hilarious.
How do you guys know each other?
That they are friends. What? Reportedly, one day while visiting the Jenner household, Gifford said, "Okay, where are the cameras? You are such a crazy family. We need cameras in here." So, in remembering what I had said earlier about Kris being a doer, she decides immediately, this is a great idea, grabs the phone, calls up another casual acquaintance, Ryan Seacrest. They kick it into gear and begin filming within the week.
That is another huge business lesson. I'm sorry, but start before you are ready.
Mm-hmm.
And get the ball rolling.
Yep.
Like, you are never going, it's never going to be perfect. Done is better than perfect.
And this just is coming start. From a perfectionist. Bethany is an Enneagram 1 and a perfectionist. So if she can tell you that, it's true.
It's true. It just is true. The person who's the most successful is the person who is just consistent and, like, puts themselves out there.
Yep. So this brings up a giant question surrounding the Kardashians. Here's Khloe. Yes, we've heard it, you know, when people say, "Why are those girls famous?" or a variation, "They're just famous for being famous." We grew up loving movie stars like Audrey Hepburn and Marilyn Monroe. We're definitely a different kind of celebrity from them. We're not actresses or performers. We are businesswomen, sisters, mothers, a wife, entrepreneurs, and fashion designers. With this part, I totally agree. But then she goes on. And we didn't set out to be celebrities. We were just living our lives, and our claim to recognizability is that we do it in front of cameras and people like watching. But I'm sorry.
Call BS.
Yes.
But also, Chloe's the youngest, so maybe she wasn't aware of all of the crap going on.
Maybe.
But this was no accidents, my friends.
Maybe you, Chloe, personally didn't set out to be a celebrity or be famous through the traditional avenue, you know, being an actress, a singer, whatever. But The second that your mother calls up Ryan Seacrest to bring in the cameras
was the second that you decided you wanted to be famous.
Yes, it did not just happen. It was on purpose, honey. And get this. Kourtney was on another reality show before Keeping Up with the Kardashians called Filthy Rich Cattle Drive. What in the world? Years before Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
The first time that Kourtney should have been canceled.
Anyways, have you, Bethany, accidentally been on a reality TV show and not tried to be famous?
But like, just I don't think that that has happened to me. Oh, but also, it kind of pisses me off when celebrities say this, or like anybody who is famous says this, because it takes so much work to be that connected and be that purposeful with your time, your energy, your efforts, and you're hurting everyone out there who
you're fooling
that,
people.
But like everyone who wants the career that you have,
And
thinks or that, even if I'm just career. Amazing,
yeah,
like it will come to me. No. Manifesting. Sorry, but I mean, really not a thing.
You definitely need to like set your intentions and think about it every day, but like, if you don't
go after it and like go get it, it's not coming to you. It's not just going to come to you. Okay. Yep. That's the exception to the rule.
Yep.
Not the rule.
And it's not even the exception to the rule. Like, there is always more to the story. There's always like, if someone just happens to somehow accidentally get an awesome job or become famous or whatever, it's because they knew someone. They were in the right place at the right time. So,
I digress.
Another piece of evidence that the Kardashians' dominance is no accident is that in the sisters' very own official book, Kardashian Confidential, published in 2010, Kim says that she's always wanted to be a reality star ever since The Real World first debuted on MTV. So they are literally telling us that this was planned. And still, the question is, the stars just fell into their laps, or... The answer is no.
There's no or.
So this is a perfect transition to episode 2. Oh, you know, we are going to be talking about sex tapes, hired paparazzi, marriages, divorce. Why are they famous? And we will be getting into all of it on the final installment of the Kardashian Sisters story episode, whatever. Click on it. It is already loaded in your Apple Podcasts or Spotify app. If you are on YouTube, click the video. It's already there. And we will see you there with the tea.
Bye. Bye.